Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, to the Winter is Coming Game of Thrones podcast. I'm your host, Razor, and I'm here with Isis and Corey Smith, and we're here to talk about more Game of Thrones Season 7 photos, as well as the official run times for each episode in Season 7. We're not going to have Corey phone on the podcast tonight because he's got other things going on, so, hey, guess what? Corey Smith won't be bullied by his master, and that's a good thing. But let's get right into the news of the day, and I want to talk to you guys about the runtimes first, and I'll just go over them really quick, and then we can talk about what we might expect out of each episode. There, obviously, we already know there's 7 episodes for season 7, and it runs down like this. Episode 1 is 59 minutes, as is episode 2, comes in at 59 minutes. That's 1 minute shy of a full hour. If this show was on network television, 15 of those minutes would be commercial. So you got to respect the fact that they're giving us almost a full hour in episodes 1 and 2. Episode 3 is 63 minutes, so it tops over an hour. The shortest episode of the season is at episode 4, coming in at 50 minutes, and I don't know, like, that's more like a network television show. That's like a show with commercials in it, and you gotta, schedule your time around the commercials. Then it pops back up to episode 5 for 59 minutes, and then we get into the longest episodes of Game of Thrones history. Episode 6 will be 71 minutes. Oh man, that's gonna be good. And even better than that, the following Sunday, episode 7 will be 81 minutes long. Isis, I know that you were kind of bummed when we found out we weren't getting supersized episodes, but I am looking at the runtimes for this season, and I'm not seeing anything that I'm displeased with so far.
I have to agree. I think that just, and again, I didn't know about this until you were just talking about it today. I am not upset whatsoever. I mean, I was not happy about having such a short season. Episode-wise, but the episode lengths are going to be pretty supersized, in my opinion. I have to believe that the short episode in, and I say short, but the 50-minute episode has to do more with maybe the way the episodes were being cut and how they probably felt something, they wanted to hold something back for the next episode in episode 5.
Yeah.
Versus going ahead and introducing it in episode 4. So that may have cut like 10 minutes out of that episode, as far as that's concerned. Or even number 3, being that it's 63 minutes, you can kind of even think, hey, maybe that was something, a decision that they made to go ahead and have that run over in episode 3 and makes episode 4 a little bit, shorter. So I am not unhappy with what's going on yet again. You know, we all were questioning Benioff and Weiss about, what they were doing and, how could this affect the storyline and everything. I think we're going to walk away pretty pleased
I think so
with
too.
What we're getting.
I think
I think so. Yeah.
Corey Smith, one other one to add, Isis, is episode 4 is actually going to be, from everything we know, is going to be the action episode, Isis. That's where, from everything we've read, all the news reports, that this is where the big stuff happens. You remember in the Entertainment Weekly photo spread, the big picture of Drogon breathing fire on the field where the soldiers are all catching on fire and shit?
Yes. Yes.
That supposedly happens in 704. So I'm thinking that if it's going to be an all-action episode, you don't really need 63 minutes to show a battle. You know, Dany swooping in on her dragon with all of the Dothraki screamers. If you're just going to show action the entire episode, 50 minutes will feel like 2 hours almost if it's going to be straight-up action, because you're just going to be glued to your television the entire time. There won't be downtime where there's, you know, dialogue, talking, and, you know, people talking about their feelings. It's just going to be, you know, oh my God, here's a dragon. Ouch, I'm on fire. Corey's...
Yeah, I think it might... Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think it's going to be, you know, kind of the feeling we got from the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah.
You know, where that was very long. I don't know what the runtime was for the episode, but it felt long. And it was so, because so much action and so much was going on, and you're sitting at the edge of your seat. So again, 50 minutes of nothing but just awesome action and dragons, and yes, I am here for it.
Dragons and fuck yeah. I was trying to look up the runtime for, Battle of the Bastards, and, man, I don't have it with me, but we'll look at that later. But, Corey Smith, let's talk about those last two episodes, being that this is the, penultimate, the season before the end, ending season of Game of Thrones, having the final two episodes run, you know, almost movie length. And you know, that's a lot of screen time for what might be happening. What do you feel could go down in those final two episodes?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do want to point out. So, like, when I did there's an interview that came out with the cinematographer for season 7, and he said that there's two or three. He said that half the episodes. The quote was half the episodes are like breathtaking moments. So. You're right on that middle episode being just nonstop action, but I think from what we know of spoilers, I think we're going to have a couple other episodes where there's, you know, some really big moments. Maybe not an entire episode of action, but definitely, you know, just huge moments. You know, something like when Cersei blew up the Sept.
Yeah,
that wasn't
massive game
technically
changers.
An action. Right. It's not an action scene, but it's definitely a huge scene, like a breathtaking moment. So much happens, you know, right there. So I think we'll have a couple of those in those two episodes. You know, something that obviously they need time for, and I'm, you know, so I don't know. The whole runtime, you know, if you look at the, I think it's 492 minutes.
That's crazy.
Is the total time for season 7, which if you were to break that down to say 10 episodes like all the other seasons, that's 10 episodes of roughly 50 minutes apiece.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're getting 7 episodes, but we're not really that much less airtime. You know, I think the episodes in seasons 1 through 6 averaged, I think it was like 55 minutes or something like that. Maybe it's 57. But either way, we're not really losing a lot of actual, you know, footage. So I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, and obviously those last two episodes kind of, you know, the extra time in those two is almost a whole nother episode.
Right.
You know, if you consider the ones 80 minutes, that's an extra 30 minutes, which, you know, and then the one before that's an extra, you know, 20, 25 minutes. That's basically a whole extra episode between those two. So there's got to be a lot going on in those episodes. Who the hell knows? I mean, I think that all the rules that we know about the past seasons as far as what will happen in each episode
out the window
are kind of going to be out the window.
Yeah. So, like,
because I don't think the big – go ahead.
Okay, so, like, I think that – you know, you're right on the money with the episode lengths and the averages, and Isis just pointed out in her chat that Battle of the Bastards was 60 minutes. So, It was a full-on hour, and every episode except for episode 4 is right at that hour time slot. So we're not getting shortchanged here, guys. So don't be upset. Don't worry about the fact that we're having a shorter season, because it's not going to feel like. I feel like by the time the credits roll on episode 7, we're all going to feel like, oh my god, I just got through running a marathon, because that's how. I just have a feeling with the cinematography that we've seen in the trailers, with all the action that we know is going to be coming, with the character interaction, worlds colliding, I feel like it's going to be one of those things where by the time the season's done, we're all going to be just having to take a long breath going, oh my god, that was one long season.
Yeah, I think that we're going to have just as much to digest.
Yeah.
After the season is over as we do every other season. Like, yeah, we're going to get there much quicker, you know, 7 weeks instead of 10, but we're going to have just as much to digest afterwards and to discuss and to pour over and to think about what it's going to mean for next season and all that stuff. I think we're going to have just as much information and moments and events and deaths and all of that to pour over, because I think the 7 episodes is totally misleading.
Hey, I really think that means we're going to have supersized podcasts. So you podcast listeners out there, you better buckle yourselves in and get an adult beverage.
Oh, let me tell you right now, if Jon Snow ends up banging Sansa or banging Dany, we're going to be talking about the sex scene just for an hour in itself. I'm just letting you guys know right now. Prepare yourself. That's what's going to happen. Corey Smith's favorite topic. All right, so let's talk about some new photos that recently were, released. I want to say they were released by HBO. They look official, but there's a site called Far, Far Away site that collects a lot of the Game of Thrones photos, and they're official looking anyway. I'll put it to you that way. They're high res, and there are some shocking. Well, I don't want to call them shocking because that's a little bit of hyperbole. Let's talk about how they look to us first, and I want to talk about the Samwell Tarly photo. He's dressed in a bloody smock. It looks like he's got gloves on. He looks like a surgeon who just walked out of a gunshot victim's surgery. I mean, he is covered head to toe in blood. And behind him on the scales looks to be a brain. We don't know if that's a human brain or a cow brain or it looks like a brain. And so, to me, this says that Sam is learning how to be a maester. And if you guys watch Wick Live on Wednesdays, hosted by Dan, our editor-in-chief, and Kayla from the Fansided headquarters in Chicago, they talked about this photo today. And basically, Dan broke down what, if you're not sure what a maester is, Maester Aemon at Castle Black, he was one of the highest ranking maesters they put at Castle Black. Maester Luwin from season 1 and 2, before he was killed by the Greyjoys, and then or not yeah I guess it was the Greyjoys who speared him, and then you have the maester who delivered the Bolton baby from last season. You have these maesters, and that's what Sam's going to train
Walken.
To be. Well, yeah.
Maester Walken.
Yeah, yeah. Great call. I was trying to remember his name. Thank you. So that's what Sam is doing, and he was sent there by Jon, and it was a way to get Gilly safe, because Castle Black was not a safe place anymore. But now it looks like Sam is doing something he never wanted to do, which is to cut into the anatomy of a body of either a human or an animal. He just doesn't like doing that kind of stuff. And he's weighing their brains, so that's kind of cool looking. I'm wondering if this means that Sam is going, if by them showing us this kind of stuff, Sam operating on cadavers or whatever, if this means Sam is going to be preparing to heal, find a way to heal Jorah of his grayscale, because why else show Sam in a shortened season? Yeah, they're going to have some supersized episodes at the end of the season, but why even bother showing Sam? Okay, so Corey Smith, let's talk about Sam's bloody smock.
I mean, I agree with you and I don't agree with you. I think that he's definitely going to discover a cure for grayscale at the Citadel. some shape or form. I just don't know that it necessarily has to do with that specific picture and dissecting a brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't know how much that has to do with curing, like, basically what's kind of like a skin disease sort of thing. So, and I mean, I think there'd be some irony, you know, I mean, when he mentions once or twice, and I can't remember when, but, you know, that the sight of blood makes him sick. And,
yeah.
You know, and that I think he says that they're going to make him dissect something at the Citadel. I think it might be from the books. I'm thinking of the quote.
Yeah, because he talked about the heavy maester chain. He didn't want to wear that either.
Yeah, so I think that might just be a pick is probably just a non-spoilery, here's a pick of Sam type thing. I think they're probably just trying to show him, hey, he's at the Citadel, and he's learning all kinds of different things, and I think somehow in the process of his studies, he'll discover the cure for grayscale. And I think he's also got another important thing to discover-wise there, but, I mean, I don't know how much you want to get into that or not.
Are you talking about John's parentage?
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Like, Gilly, we've seen Gilly and Sam both reading together, studying, and in some of the new photos, it shows Gilly looking... the only word I've got for it is pensive. Like, she's thoughtfully looking off to the side. And, you know, there's been spoilers out there. And, again, this is your spoiler warning that Gilly's going to find John's real name and that he was legitimate and not a bastard.
Right. And I'm a little half and half on this one, too, and I hate to sound like I can't make up my mind on anything. But... I almost wonder if – I don't know if Sam will necessarily discover John's parentage, but I think, you know, we've seen what that passage is that Gilly is reading, and I think that at the very least, what Gilly and Sam will do is serve as some sort of, like, foreshadowing of John's parents. They may not necessarily discover it, but what she's reading is a prophecy of the prince that was promised, which is a prophecy that pops up pretty often in the books, but that we've yet to see on the show. So I think it's definitely a possibility that they just serve as a means to introduce that prophecy before his parentage is revealed in some other way. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It could be revealed by Bran, or it could be revealed by something in the crypts of Winterfell, but that they're definitely at the, and it still could be revealed by Sam and Gilly, but at the very least I think they're going to serve as some sort of foreshadowing or hint or whatever you want to call it of John's potential parentage, because again, they haven't introduced that from the books.
Well, speaking of Bran, he was also shown in some of these new photos, Isis, the longest and most awkward date ever. You got Bran strapped to a sled looking up like either praying to God that Mira doesn't turn around and look at him while she's strapped to the sled, or maybe he's having some kind of weirwood dream. I don't know. Maybe some of those branches underneath the sled are weirwood branches. I don't know, but it looks kind of weird. What do you think about Bran and Mira, and how long do you think it's going to take them to get home to Winterfell?
I have no idea. I mean, I just feel so bad for Mira. Poor girl. I'm serious. Like she's trying to hold it down, and she's trying to, you know, walk all this way. I mean, we're talking about someone the size of, you know, just a very young, like, very petite girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had at least Hodor carrying Bran around. And even Bran, and, you know, even during that, they were still going very, very slowly. I just feel so bad for Mira. I keep on looking at Bran, and I mean, he has to hate the situation that he's in. You know, it's very slow moving. I'm sure he would want to get to where he wants to get to rather quickly, but I mean, at the same time, what is he going to do? Tell Mira, mush faster? I mean, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
exactly. If I had to guess, I mean, I think he's either in some serious deep thought, maybe warging into something, or he might be, I don't know, farting. I have no idea.
Taking a poopy? He's having, that's a poopy, I mean, that's a poop face. He's having a poopy.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he's having, maybe he's doing that, you know, it's going behind him. So it's whatever. No, I mean, but seriously, what I was going to say is that maybe he's looking at the wall, or he's like, you know, Mira is so concentrated on just getting forward. He is just hoping either that he sees a human or he does not see a White Walker. You know, I mean, those are two things that I would be like, all right, girlfriend, you just keep on looking forward and you keep one foot in front of the other. I'm going to keep lookout. Now, if they come, we're screwed no matter what, or at least he's screwed no matter what.
Yeah, Mira can run. Later. See
Mira can run. Yeah, hey, it's been awesome traveling with you, but I got to go.
This was a fun trip and everything, but
yeah, exactly. I'm outie. you only have to be faster than one other person. So anyway, so I really feel that, you know, he may be kind of like being the scout and looking out to see, hopefully, maybe catch somebody's attention or whatever the case may be. Maybe he's warging into a bird and, you know, kind of like trying to see where they're at and guide them in, you know. I don't know. I'm hoping that's what's going to happen, but I hope we're not going to be like this for a long time.
Yeah, see, I could see him, he's warging in that shot because, you know, they add the white eyes.
Right.
From when he wargs later. So, I mean, it just kind of seems odd. Like, because even if he was looking at the wall, you'd think he'd be looking more of an angle.
He's looking straight up.
He's kind of looking at something that's directly,
okay.
So I don't know. And that could be wildly misinterpreting it, but that just kind of seemed like an odd pose to me.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get on with a few of these other photos really quick. Isis, Danny, you really were enthralled with the Danny photos. She's doing the superhero landing on the beach with her hand on the sand, and now she's scooping it up and looking at it. It's like you talked about our last podcast, you know, when some of these great celebrities travel, they come back and they kiss the ground when they land home, you know, because they're home. It's kind of what Danny's doing now. She's scooping up the sand.
She's never been there before. She's never been home. And let's be honest, Danny has never really had a home. She's been exiled all this time since she was a young girl. And so for her to be able to be in a place where her family called home and now is her home has to be in a very incredibly, you know, moving feeling. You know, it has to be one of those things saying, you know, I'm home. I have the army that I should have. You know, I am about to embark in this, you know, I'm finally moving forward. And you know, she has a family. I mean, granted, it's a kind of a ragtag family that she's got, that she's kind of built along the way.
Right, right.
But it's hers. And so I definitely identify that, you know, with her in this picture. I absolutely love the clothing they had her in.
Yeah, you're really excited about her cloak, aren't you?
Her cloak.
Superhero cape.
Her superhero cape, if you will. And let's just be, you know, I've heard in fashion that capes are out, but damn, Danny is bringing it back. And let me tell you why. I really love the fact that around the shoulder area in this one, in this particular, because she's got several. And this one, it reminds me of like dragon scales.
Yeah.
And even like the light catching it glimmers. And it's and you can see that there's movement in it in this still picture. And so that's why I'm really excited about it. It's because it's just a beautiful, beautiful cut. But it shows that she has her, you know, she's home, but she's had to wear this shield. Or at least, you know, she has this dragon, you know, looking thing or whatever to show that, hey, I'm ready for whatever comes my way. So I really enjoy the color of it as well. It's kind of like a very, you know, rusty brown color,
yeah.
If you will. And then she has her, I think they're green trousers, if you will.
Well, they look black to me. They look like they're black trousers, like black boots and black trousers.
Yeah, but all the color combinations work very well, especially with her being on the beach. But like I said, you know, whether she's in the light or in the shade, which in this picture she's in the shade, you can still see the reflection off of that kind of dragon scale. I don't know what they did. It is just incredible. It's gorgeous. Applause to whoever built her outfit, because that is amazing. She also has another one that she's wearing that is a better picture to see real good detail of it, is the one that she's kind of looking up. Grey Worm is behind her. And you can really see the detail in not only the bodice portion of it that looks like it's threaded to look like hair. And then on the top portion, it looks like it has like little flecks of rock or something like that, gemstones.
Probably gemstones.
That have been chipped. Yeah, that have been chipped. And it looks incredible. There's some different colors and textures in it. They did an incredible job. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing her, especially whatever that scene is, because I think that's going to be the one that, you know, is going to be very telling, that she has her dragon armor dress, if you will, and she's ready. And then also her partner in crime, her name is
Missandei.
Missandei. Very similar outfit. Yeah. Kind of like the cape looking shoulder pads, if you will. I like to call those the 80s shoulder pads that were really, really in. with the crisscross front.
Yeah.
Just beautiful, beautiful. And I love the fact they're in pants. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah, so, they're ready to do work. They're ready to get to work. Yeah. There's also a couple of the photos that kind of stick out to me. I want to talk about real quick. Is we finally get a shot of Beric Dondarrion, the leader of the Brotherhood Without Banners. No, it's not Lady Stoneheart, guys. I'm sorry to tell you that. It's Beric Dondarrion. But this time he's riding in the snow with the Hound. We've seen the Hound riding in the snow, one of the earlier pictures that came out of the official Game of Thrones photos for Season 7. But now we've got the Hound riding next to Beric. They're covered in snow. Obviously, this is them riding in the north or toward the north. And we've heard spoilers that they go past the wall to go on a hunt for a certain individual. But I'm wondering if this is before they meet up with Jon Snow or after. But it looks very cool. Like, you know, Beric looks like a man who, as expected, has died. Man, Corey, I know you're going to have to remind me, 7-8 times, and he's died several times, and he's just completely scarred up. He looks like a badass war veteran.
Yeah, I want to say it was 7 times.
Yeah.
And I'd have to go back and check the text, because they don't make, on the show, they don't make a big, I don't think they name as many times as yet.
Thoros asked him, how many times has it been, my friend?
That's right.
Melisandre comes
in the cave.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. Yeah, I want to say it was 7. But, yeah, he definitely looks a little... It's weird because he looks a little ragged physically, but he kind of has, like, a smirk on his face, whereas the Hound looks kind of big and imposing, but he looks fucking miserable. So it's kind of a... You know,
he doesn't
it's
have
kind
any
of
fucking
weird...
chickens.
Yeah, I mean, the Hound looks miserable. He's got that, like, what the fuck am I doing here kind of look on his face. And I don't know, as far as when, I think it's probably, you know, after they go north of the wall. Because I got to imagine when they go north of the wall, that's going to be the worst weather conditions. And I also imagine it's going to take them, you know, a little bit to find the whites. You know, that's what they're looking for, and I don't imagine they're just going to ride out of the gate and be like, oh, hey, look, some whites.
I do want to...
I have a question. This is as a show-only person. So do they ever make it to Winterfell, do you think? Do they ever...
We don't know. We've never ventured this far in the book, so we don't know if the Brotherhood makes it to Winterfell or not. And in the books, at this time in the books, the Brotherhood's being led by Lady Stoneheart, and she's not in the show.
Right.
So it would be
really odd. And vice versa, Beric is dead in the books.
Yeah.
He gives his life force to raise Lady Stoneheart. So he's long gone.
Okay, and the reason why I was asking, because maybe the look on the Hound's face is due to the fact either knowing that Sansa or Arya are alive or they're safe. And, you know, he looks like somebody who would want, I mean, where he is right now, but he would rather be anywhere else than here right now. And maybe, you know, if he runs into somebody or finds out that, you know, those two wayward girls that he cares deeply for. I mean, he you know, kept those two alive. And maybe that would be the reason why, you know, the Hound has the look on his face and the lack of chickens. And then the other guy, I swear to God, he looks so freaking awesome. I already feel like I'm going to love him already.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, we haven't got enough of Beric in the show. We've only got small, like, in season one, Ned Stark sends out Lord Beric. He's played by a different character then. And then now that he's, and then we saw him again, he fought. You're looking at two guys who actually fought each other. The Hound actually killed Beric Dondarrion in their duel. Beric, if you'll remember, in season, was it three? He lights his sword on fire and they fight and fight and fight until the Hound cleaves his shoulder from his, you know, from his head almost, like almost cuts him in half, and he wins the fight, and then all of a sudden Thoros raises him off screen, raises him from the dead, and Beric's alive again. And it's like, so these two guys have fought each other. They met briefly last season, and they talked the Hound into going with them to fight the Long Night, to fight the darkness that is in the north. So that's why the Hound is with them. Maybe he's still on his redemption arc, thanks to Brother Ray, played by Ian McShane. I do want to point out in the photo of the two together, if you look to the far right, there is another horseman, like a chainmail. Either it's like a chain, part of their chainmail is showing, and it looks like that might be to me. And this is completely off. This is, I'm probably off my rocker here, but if you look really, really close, that looks like the armor worn by Thoros. He wears that chainmail over the robe sometimes, or a red robe with chainmail, red chainmail, rusted chainmail, and that's what it looks to me. So Thoros, we might be looking at a picture where Thoros of Myr, the Red Priest, is cut out.
That would make total sense. I mean, it's not like a leap of logic. I mean, Thoros is going to go wherever they go. So
right.
I definitely think that probably is him. And he was always one of the better armored of the Brotherhood without Banner, because he was actually, you know, like a warrior priest type thing.
Yeah, so he would always fight in Robert Baratheon's tournaments. So he always, like, spent money on swords and armor to, like, make himself look imposing when he really wasn't. But
right.
There's also a photo of Podrick Issus. I know we were looking at this before the show started, and you were impressed with how swole up Podrick got. And he's at Winterfell. So that means Brienne is at Winterfell as well.
Podrick has been working on his fitness. Let me tell you, he is swole up. And not only is he swole up, okay, one thing that I absolutely loved about Podrick is that he always really kind of had this, like, silly, dopey grin on his face.
Yeah.
And now he does it. Now he has this, you know, in this picture, a very serious look on his face. You know, it's like our young kind of naive boy has become a man.
He's all grown
and
up.
He is. He's all grown up. And you can look, and of course I'm projecting, but I feel like he is definitely understands the ramifications of what's going on. He went on a trip with Brienne, you know, to learn a new job and everything. And I'm not saying he didn't take it seriously, but he just had this, you know, adorable, you know,
goofy grin on his face all the time.
Yeah. I mean, he was just so naive and, you know, understanding that this is a life and death situation. And you know, for him, it was like, all right, you know, this is an awesome freaking summer trip and stuff. And now
he was
not
a sweet summer child. Now the winter has come.
The winter has come, and it has taken our sweet child away, and he has become a man. And let me tell you, I feel like those cartoons, the big eyes, woo, woo,
woo.
Yeah. No, he looks great. Obviously, Brienne has not slacked off on making sure that he is ready for this fight, which makes it all that more believable as far as, you know, his kind of story arc, whereas he was, you know, kind of like a you know, house guy for Tyrion. You know, he was just, you know, this little naive little guy who would just go and do shit for Tyrion and everything. And now he, you know, the shades are off his eyes. He's seeing what's really happening, and he, it looks like he is going to be part of it, and he's not going to skunk off and try to save his own tail. He is ready to do battle, and I think that's great. That really shows amazing growth. Even though the past couple of seasons we haven't really seen a whole lot of him because we haven't seen a whole lot of Bran as well. I feel this is probably the perfect time for him to start peeking.
I also want to point out there is a new photo of Tormund in Winterfell looking off to the side. And we've seen other photos of Bran underneath the walkways of Winterfell, Gwendolyn Christie preparing her makeup and her to go film scenes. So maybe he's watching Brianna from afar, dreaming of the night they will be together at last, the Bear and the Maiden Fair. But
I'm telling you, that is the thing that fan fiction is made of.
Oh, it is. It really is. If you guys had ever, and I wish we could have, and one time we're going to try to have Sarah and Ray and Katie from Winter's Coming, right?
Yes,
we're gonna try to have them on the podcast, and you will get an earful of some of the best fan fiction you've ever heard in your entire life. But we'll talk about that later on another podcast. We do have two pictures I want to mention. One is of Jaime and Cersei in the map room. Cersei's got a glass of wine, as always, which no big deal. And Jamie's standing behind her shoulder, and they're looking at something. That's a cool shot because we haven't seen that angle of them together. You know, Cersei doesn't have the metal work on her dress, and Jamie's in a simple leather, you know, tunic with the sword at his side. But there's another picture here, and it shows Jamie standing in the map room by himself with an angry look on his face, kind of like his sister just pissed him off. Maybe she said something really stupid, and he's not liking what he hears. And he's still in that leather smock, I guess you could call it, or tunic, and Widow's Wail is on his hip. He's also got a long dagger on his hip. It's like Jamie's ready to go to war in this photo. And Corey, we've heard that in spoilers that Jamie and Cersei might not want, they might go separate ways. They might fight towards the end because he won't like what Cersei says. What do you think? What do you think about this photo?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably playing towards that inclination. And I think that if that does come to fruition, I think it's going to be a slow burn type thing throughout the season. I think that, you know, in order for us to truly believe that Jaime would ever abandon Cersei, that it's going to have to, you know, it's going to be a long decision for him. He's not going to decide that 1 minute to the next.
Right.
You know, he's going to have several events. Obviously, it started with last season with Cersei blowing up the Sept of Baelor and everybody that was in it.
And causing their son to commit suicide.
Right. Exactly. So, and I think this season we'll probably see, obviously, maybe not as dramatic of events, but definitely some more things that kind of say to Jaime that Cersei kind of not necessarily has lost her mind, but is more concerned with being in power than anything else.
I also find it very interesting that Jaime is armed in every photo we've seen him in. Like last season, when he was in King's Landing, he didn't always have a sword on his hip. Because, I mean, he's got the one golden hand he can't really use, but now he's always armed, and he's got the Valyrian steel sword Widow's Wail that was reforged from the Stark sword Ice, but he's got Widow's Wail on the hip, and he's got that dagger that I never noticed before into this photo. So he's walking around the Red Keep armed all the time now.
He's packing heat.
Yeah, and I think that probably, I mean, if I had to guess, that's probably going to have to do more than the fact, you know, that Danny, you know, we know Danny lands on Dragonstone, which is not terribly far from King's Landing.
True.
So I think that Jaime is probably, you know, they're basically on red alert 24/7, you know, because Danny could theoretically get from Dragonstone to King's Landing, you know, overnight. You know, maybe she can't bring her whole army, but she could fly all three of those dragons over to King's Landing in one night. It's not a terribly far you know, from King's Landing. It's just basically across Blackwater Bay. So yeah. I think that's probably what it is. Jamie, at this point, they're at war. They've got people, you know, like the trailer says, enemies to the east, the west, the south, the north, northwest, northeast, you know, every which direction. So he's probably just a little paranoid and he's got a weapon on him all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely, you know, him having Widow's Wail is pretty damn cool. I mean, we hadn't seen that since season 4, you know, when Joffrey was, I think they had it on Joffrey's corpse, but right in the,
Baelor. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was laid across his chest.
Right. And we all assumed they wouldn't bury him with it just because obviously it's Valyrian steel. But you know, and that can, you know, that Valyrian steel can make up for a lot of deficiencies in the user. You know, it's lighter, it's sharper. So, I mean, it makes sense that Jaime would have it because, you know, obviously he's not the best swordsman that he was with his other hand. So, I think they're just on red alert 24/7. I think they, you know, they're ready for something to happen all the time now just because Danny's lurking around and everybody else is. So that's my best guess.
Well,
where's his homie? Where's his buddy?
Bronn?
Bronn, yeah.
We've seen, I think, it's not in this batch of photos, but I'm pretty sure we saw a picture of Bronn sitting near the dragon, or standing in the dragon pit, or standing close to the dragon pit. I forget where that photo of Bronn was taken.
But okay,
we've seen an official.
It wasn't. It was not official.
That was
though.
Like concept art. Yeah, that was concept art that someone leaked. Okay. But I don't think we've seen him in official. But we didn't really see him in official images last season either. And he didn't show up until,
because he's so sneaky. He comes in and out when he wants to.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, I wouldn't be surprised if he went to Tyrion. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
He'll go to the highest bidder, and Tyrion will be packing some gold.
Well, and if Jaime does split from Cersei, I mean, Bronn's going to go with him. You know what I mean? Bronn's
There's no reason to stay around.
Stick around for crazy ass Mad Queen. You know, if Jaime abandons Cersei at some point, I think Bronn goes with him. So.
All right, so that's the new photos we've seen. We're getting to a point where I want to start wrapping things up. Before we go, I want to talk about what the HBO Game of Thrones blog. It's called Making Game of Thrones. They're doing a prepare for winter deal where for the next few weeks they started last week, and they're streaming every season of Game of Thrones up until the season 7 premiere. And it's a hashtag on Twitter called hashtag prepare for winter. And the season 2, they're doing questions. So basically you go to the website, it's Making Game of Thrones blog, or the makinggameofthrones.com basically is what it's called. And you fill out, you get the questions, and then you go to social media, their Facebook or Twitter, and you share your answers. And they keep a running tally, and I guess they're going to announce who was the smartest person in all the land, I guess. They said that your name will be announced or whatever, from the official Game of Thrones accounts. But I want to ask you guys these questions because, honestly, I don't know all the answers. So I'm going to ask each one of you one
they
at a time.
They are hard.
They're hard questions. I'm going to ask you each one at a time. I'll start with Isis.
They are very hard.
Isis, I'm going to start with you. Number one, when Sam, Grin, and Ed are digging, remember this is season 2, okay?
Oh shit!
Yeah, this is season 2. When Sam, Grin, and Ed are digging beyond the wall, whose shovel hits the marker concealing the stash of dragonglass?
Whose shovel?
Whose shovel hits the stash?
Oh my god! I don't know, Jon Snow. I mean,
Corey, can you steal the answer, Corey?
I think it's Grin, isn't it?
I think it's Grin. I think I barely remember Grin hitting it, and then they pulled it up because they were complaining about digging up poop or horse poop and burning poop or something.
They're
like that.
They're complaining about digging toilets.
Yeah, digging latrines. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a hard question, and if I mean,
the trivia is so.
Season 2. I'm sorry. I'm. I'm going to have trouble with that. And then to ask me who shoveled it, what?
Okay,
nope.
Okay. Well, since Corey stole that question, let me ask you the next one, Isis. This is even harder.
Oh, God.
What is the first thing Ygritte said to Jon Snow when they met? The very first thing she ever said to Jon Snow.
I don't know. It's just, I have no idea. I know that she always tried to, like, you know, unman him, you know, not like, you know, make him feel uncomfortable, but I can't remember. What is it?
I don't know. I don't have the answers in front of me. I want to say it had something to do with the old gods and the new, or the old gods. I don't know. I don't really know.
I thought it was something about her, about John killing her, and like something
being a fancy crow or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, like she always made fun of him. Well, you know what? My oldest son for Mother's Day gifted me all the entire set of season 1 through 6.
Oh,
of
nice.
Game of Thrones.
Nice.
Mother's Day. It was a complete surprise. I didn't know, so I guess I'm just going to have to crack that open and sit there and watch it all over again. Because I normally just watch my favorite episodes.
Binge watch.
I mean, obviously, we could go into Google and find these answers if we want to, but I don't want to do it that. I want to do it the hard way. Like, here's one I know. I know this one. And Corey Smith, I'm going to ask you this one since I've asked.
I feel like that's what people are doing, though.
I know, yeah, obviously you're doing that. So, during the attack on Blackwater Bay, what is Sansa holding when the Hound startles her in her chamber? I think I remember this. And Corey, what do you think the answer is?
Isn't she holding, like a handkerchief or something? No. Is she holding the necklace that Ser Danto gave her?
I thought it was a doll.
But no, he gives that to her in season 3.
I thought she was holding a doll.
Might be a doll. Fuck, dude.
It's just so unfair.
I mean, for fuck's sake, these questions are like so asinine. It's like, what?
So was that like the doll? Was it the doll that Cersei was gonna poison or something? Like Cersei wanted to do something to
her. Her dad gave her a doll. Gave her a doll back in season 1. Yes, and she was like, "Fuck this shit. I don't play with dolls anymore, Dad."
Yeah.
It might have been a doll. Fuck,
okay, so
dude.
Here's the next question. So I'll ask this to Corey again, and I'll get back to Isis for number 5. Corey, while speaking with young Bran about magical forces, Maester Luwin mentions 3 types of creatures. What are they?
Let's see. Okay, so what are the Grumpkins?
Okay, yeah.
Grumpkins, something with an S.
Is it Snarks?
Snarks. Snarks, Grumpkins, and Giants? Is it Giants?
I think you're right about 2. I'm not sure about the 3rd one. I remember, because everybody always makes fun of the Grumpkins and the Snarks, because people were talking about
Snarks and Grumpkins.
Yeah. Okay, so I think you're right. You're close to this one. Okay, Isis, number 5. Danny. When Danny has that snowy vision while visiting the House of the Undying, when she's looking for her baby dragons, when she comes across her dead husband and child, Drogo, and Drogo's holding the baby, I don't even know how you're going to answer this. What are the first words that Drogo says to her? The fuck?
Oh my god. Like, who remembers this shit?
They're making you go back and watch
so
the episodes. Because this kind of shit, I don't even think you can find half this shit on Google. They're making you go back and watch each episode to find out. Because this is a hard one. Like, that's a very out there. What are the first words Drogo says?
If I had to guess, it was probably like, you know, look at our son. Look at our boy. Because I don't think...
Oh, what is it? Did he not say my moon and stars?
But, yeah, I was going to say...
I think it was something like that.
I have no idea. I would guess my son and star, or no, moon of my life.
Moon of my life, yeah. They call each other like my son and stars, moon of my life. They call each other that kind of stuff, and I think that's probably what.
Yeah, I feel like that would be what he'd say first.
All right, here's
I think it would be like, but, you know, his son. You know, like look at him, you know, or you know, look at her family or something. I don't know. I had to believe that's probably what it was. Something around those lines.
Corey Smith, the bonus questions really fit. With a book reader's knowledge. After being unable to name the ruling house of Maidenpool, Arya tells Tywin Lannister she's from what northern town?
Oh, fuck.
I remember the scenes. I remember the scene specifically.
Oh, does she say Karstark, doesn't she? Does she not say Karstark?
Well, she's from what northern town? So is it Karhold? No, I don't. I think it's something. I want to say.
Oh.
What is the house? Did she say Barrowtown? Barrowton? No. What is?
That what was House Glover?
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
No.
What is it?
No, that'd be House Dustin. Dustin is Barrowton. House Dustin, because Lady Dustin's that crazy bitch.
Yes.
In the fifth book.
Yeah.
That might be. I don't know, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, these questions are like, they don't even matter to the plot. Why are y'all asking these questions?
Because they want you to go back and watch each episode. They're trying to get fans because they're dangling the carrot in front of people who want to get recognized on social media. Think about it. If you get announced by the official Game of Thrones Twitter that you answered all the questions correctly, and they announce your name out there to the millions of people who follow them, that's going to be pretty big, right? It's a pretty big get for you. So
yeah.
So they're making everybody go back and watch. They're making everybody go back and watch the seasons.
It's nowhere compared to the people that listen to this podcast and give us a shout-out. So, you know what? I would much rather have the people that listen to our podcast give us shout-outs than Game of Thrones. I'm good.
If you're listening to the podcast, by the way, and you know the answer to these questions, please shame us in the comments below. We don't mind being shamed. We're used to it by
now.
Oh,
no.
For real.
Shame. Except to Unella, shame.
but be honest. Don't like go and look it up on YouTube and then call us idiots. Like,
because we'll know. We'll know.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
All right. So we were going to talk about our best guesses for the episode titles for season 7, but I think for now, because we're almost at an hour, we can save that for our next podcast. So look forward to us. In a week or maybe 2 weeks, we're going to start ramping the podcast up coming up. Because, guys, we're heading into the four-week mark. It is it's June 14th right now. We're 2 days away from 1 month.
It's 4 weeks.
So we're headed down or almost off to taking the exit off to Game of Thrones Season 7. So get ready. So our podcast, Take the Black, we'll start ramping up again. We might even start doing it once a week now that we're in the 4 week mark. We'll have Dan Selke on, Corey Thone back at his usual spot. Maybe try to get a couple of guests for you guys. But look forward to our next podcast coming out pretty soon. We will talk about our best guesses for the season 7 episode title. So if you're listening and you want to throw your guesses in, put that in the comments below as well, and we'll give you a shout out on the next podcast. For myself, for Isis, and for Corey Smith, thanks for listening to Take the Black, Valar Morghulis.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.